Courageous Cultures: How to Build Teams of Micro-Innovators, Problem Solvers, and Customer Advocates was written by Karen Hurt and David Dye. Most leaders believe they've created an open environment that encourages employees to speak up, so they're surprised when they learn that employees are holding back. Too often, employees feel that no one cares about making things better. Yet, in many companies, senior leaders aren't the ones stifling progress. Rather, it's the exponential effect of thousands of small opportunities missed because people didn't speak up when they saw something stupid or didn't share their idea because it might not be well received. The best practices languish, unshared and unspoken. Why? Because people are often discouraged for saying the wrong thing and not rewarded for saying the right thing, so they say nothing. The consequences can be dire. Customers leave, problems multiply, and employees lose heart. Instead of safe silence and frustrated leaders, what if you had a courageous culture? A courageous culture is a place where people speak up. They share ideas. They solve problems. The default is to contribute. It's a culture where silence isn't safe and effort is everything. Courageous cultures go way beyond employee engagement. People are energized. They bring their whole selves to their work. Innovation isn't limited to the senior leadership team or R&D. Everyone innovates, every day. When you build a courageous culture, you'll see teams of micro-innovators, problem solvers, and customer advocates working together to make things better. A micro-innovator is the employee who consistently seeks out small but powerful ways to improve the business. She constantly wonders, "How can I make this easier, better, or faster?" Then she speaks up and shares what she's learned. A problem solver is the employee who cares about what's not working and wants to make it better. Problem solvers care about the business, treat it as their own, and focus on solutions. A customer advocate is the employee who sees through your customer's eyes and speaks up on their behalf. Customer advocates actively look for ways to improve customers' experience and minimize their frustrations. In our world of rapid change, a courageous culture is your competitive advantage. Such cultures include Trader Joe's, a grocer with the highest revenue per square foot, and throngs of brand advocates, where continual improvement is fundamental and everyone does what it takes to serve the customer. And businesses like Nestle, which creates a courageous culture through its commitment to diversity and inclusion. Let's now learn the roadmap to a culture of micro-innovation, problem-solving, and customer advocacy. Any discussion about courage at work quickly leads to Amy Edmondson, who is the Novartis Professor of Leadership and Management at the Harvard Business School. She's also the author of The Fearless Organization: Creating Psychological Safety in the Workplace for Learning, Innovation, and Growth. Edmondson describes how courage at work shows up when someone speaks up, challenges an idea, shares a different perspective, or reveals a mistake. These behaviors take courage, because people default to avoiding failure, which means the loss of status, being labeled, or being viewed with disfavor that can result from speaking up. Until you build a courageous culture, Edmondson says, quote, "People at work are vulnerable to a kind of implicit logic in which safe is simply better than sorry," end quote. But why is safe silence the default? Here are five reasons. People don't think leadership wants their ideas. No one asks. People lack confidence to share. They lack the skills to share effectively. And finally, people don't think anything will happen, so they don't bother. Now let's talk about what counts as courage. Executives, managers, and frontline employees in courageous culture programs were asked, "What's the most courageous act you ever did at work?" Most of their stories are not courage with a capital C, the front-page news stories of whistleblowing and confronting massive ethical breaches with career-threatening consequences. Instead, they are stories of courage with a lowercase c, choices to take a small, uncomfortable risk for the good of the business, team, or customer. What are the small C courageous acts that lay the foundation for courageous cultures? First, show a bit of vulnerability. Vulnerability builds trust. Have the courage to let people see a bit more of who you really are and to admit when you're wrong or don't have all the answers. Second, manage performance. Have the courage to provide consistent performance feedback and address performance issues directly. When you do this early and often, the chances of having to do the really tough stuff, like fire someone, are significantly lower. Next, advocate for your team. If you can't influence others, your team will wonder why they need you. Experiment. Do you believe if it ain't broke, don't fix it? If so, learning the art of a well-run pilot program can increase your courage while reducing your stress. Make timely decisions. No one wants to work for a waffler. Have the courage to make decisions and stick to them. If you struggle with this, get your team to help you. Finally, share credit. A primary reason people are reluctant to share ideas is because they won't get the credit. When in doubt, credit the team. Now let's talk about some of the key steps for building a courageous culture. The first is to navigate the narrative. We all tell ourselves stories about what's happening, who we are, and what other people think of us. To navigate the narrative means that you pay attention to the stories that you and your team tell yourselves, and you consciously tap into stories that reinforce your values, culture, and commitments. Don't underestimate the role of your personal courage in building a courageous culture for your team. Your leadership is the first step. To navigate the narrative means you identify the stories in which you are the best version of yourself, consciously choose to remember them, and use them to inform your choices today. It becomes easier to be that best version of yourself the next time. As you do, your commitment to your values grows stronger than your fear. Start your courageous culture journey by navigating the narrative with a courage map. A courage map helps you tap into your courage and builds the foundation you need to lead a cultural transformation. To build your courage map, make a broad timeline of your career. Think back to your early and more recent roles. Now, think about the most courageous acts you did in these roles and lessons learned along the way. Once you've identified at least 3 moments of courage for each courageous act, ask yourself the following questions. What motivated me to be courageous in this circumstance? What did I expect to happen? What actually happened as a result? How do I feel about this incident? What values did it reveal as important to me? In my leadership today, where would it be helpful to show up more like this or with these values? Look for themes. What do you notice about yourself in these stories? What makes you proud? What is the essence of these stories that you hope to carry forward into your future stories? What lessons do you have to share with your team? Invite your team to complete the exercise and schedule some time to discuss it. Have each person choose one story to share. What themes emerge? What do you notice about the underlying values of these choices? What are the key lessons from these stories you can leverage as you begin your work to build a more courageous culture? The next strategy is to create clarity. Clarity is focus, alignment, and doing what works. Clarity means that everyone in the organization understands what success looks like. Clarity ensures that your brand promise is kept in every interaction. People get where you are headed and why. Clarity contributes 3 critical elements to a courageous culture: safety, confidence, and direction. Clarity helps people speak up because they know what success looks like, what's required of them, and how they can contribute. Clarity produces confidence that you can take a good idea and make it happen. Finally, clarity gives people a direction to focus their thinking, problem solving, and creativity. Innovation starts with information. If you want your team to solve more problems or to bring more ideas, they need clarity about where you're headed and what matters most. They need to know the few strategic priorities where their ideas would make the most difference and which kinds of best practices are most important to share. When you build a courageous culture, you integrate clarity and curiosity. In the dance between the two, each characteristic takes the spotlight, but they're always holding hands. Let's discuss curiosity. Cultivate curiosity means to intentionally seek ideas, engagement, and solutions. In organizations with a strong curiosity culture, executives ensure that infrastructure and training encourage micro-innovation, sharing ideas, and advocating for customers. Leaders at every level ask courageous questions to uncover new ideas, and employees consistently look for ways to make things better. Then, they share their discoveries. Cultivating curiosity isn't simply a matter of asking more questions. That helps, but it's not just that you ask. In courageous cultures, leaders ask regularly and skillfully. Three qualities distinguish how leaders ask questions: being intentional, vulnerable, and focused on action. These questions reflect a theme. The questions themselves are courageous. Courageous questions are your number one way to cultivate curiosity. A courageous question is distinct in three ways. When you ask a courageous question, you focus on a specific activity, behavior, or outcome. You also are humble. You're implicitly saying, "I know I'm not perfect. I know I can improve." Finally, you don't respond, yet. These questions require the asker to listen without defensiveness. Courageous questions include things like, "What is the problem we have that no one talks about? What do we do that really annoys our customers? What is the greatest obstacle to your productivity? What must I do better as a leader if we are to be successful? What's sabotaging our success?" The next strategy is to respond with regard. How you and leaders at every level respond to ideas and feedback will either build momentum or crush your culture before it gets started. Responding with regard means you receive ideas and react in ways that respect the other person, build momentum, improve your employees' strategic thinking, and generate more useful ideas. How do you respond with regard? Recently, David Dye donated blood through the Red Cross. 4 weeks after donating, he received an email that said, quote, "Thank you for giving blood with the American Red Cross. Your blood donation was sent to the Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland, to help a patient in need. Your donation is on its way to change lives." Every day, patients receive blood for a variety of conditions, including life-threatening illnesses, blood disorders, and traumas. Your blood donations are critical to helping save patients' lives. Schedule your next donation today. End quote. The message was followed by a large red button to schedule his next donation. This is a fantastic example of how to respond with regard because it included three key elements: gratitude, process, and invitation. They thanked him, told him how his contribution was making a difference, and invited him to do it again. The same approach works for leaders when team members contribute ideas. Now let's learn how to practice the principle. When you practice the principle, you commit to finding the core idea within best practices and help your teams to localize best practices for their unique circumstances. To practice the principle, executives clarify core values and principles, support their leadership teams to review and try out new ideas that align with those principles, and work strategically to improve them. A principle is a concept that works universally. For instance, treating your customer with respect is a principle of customer service. But the practice of respect can look very different from culture to culture, city to city, and between industries. For example, cooking a homemade meal for your team is a practice. For most people, that practice isn't transferable, but the principle of personally investing and connecting to your team is transferable. Every trained leader can do that. You don't scale practices, you scale principles. To find the principles in best practices, first ask why the practice works. Sometimes you'll have to ask why several times before you get to the essence of what really happened or the fundamental reasons for success. Once you've found the principle in the best practice, you're ready to test that principle and see if it works the way you and your team think it does. Try it in a couple different settings with different people. Listen closely. This is perhaps the most important part of testing a principle. As you test the principle and roll it out, really listen to what your people tell you. Check in with stakeholders, partners, and customers. Respond to feedback with solutions, not selling. Ask how it can be better. As you continue to test and roll out the principle, ask questions that will help refine it. How can we address challenges that arise and make the change serve its purpose? What's working well and how do we leverage it? What enhancements do we need? All these questions help refine the principle and they build morale by including employees in your change efforts. The final strategy is to galvanize the genius. To galvanize means to excite someone into action, and that's certainly what you and your team want to happen with all the genius ideas you've discovered. Galvanize has a second relevant meaning, too. It's the process where iron or steel is treated with a protective layer of zinc in order to prevent rust and corrosion. In courageous cultures, corrosion looks like that slide back to old behaviors or safe silence. You don't want that, so it's time to galvanize the genius, to excite your team to action and prevent the slow decline of the culture you've all worked so hard to build. The three elements to galvanize your genius are know, flow, and show. Know means to clearly articulate what success looks like and the fundamental behaviors that make it happen. Has this ever happened to you? You get everyone focused on doing what's right for the customer, and a few well-meaning folks trying to do the right thing lose sight of the bigger picture. Even talented, motivated people understand the same ideas differently, and unless your leadership team and managers know how the strategic goals translate into daily behaviors, you'll stay stuck. Flow is your ability to translate vision into behaviors and ensure all employees understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, and how their work fits into the big picture. Flow means that everyone is aligned with strategic goals, understands what matters most, and knows what to do to succeed. To achieve that level of clarity, executives communicate strategic priorities and behaviors that bring success. Managers model these success behaviors, translate organizational goals into department and team goals, and equip their teams to succeed. Employees demonstrate the behaviors and ensure they understand the why behind the work. Show means that you measure and inspect outcomes and behaviors at every level of the business. You and your team are certain where the desired behaviors are happening and where they break down. You ensure that managers reinforce behaviors through celebration and accountability, and employees do what they've committed to do. Demonstrating results isn't just a matter of ensuring that everything is going according to plan. People at every level benefit from clear feedback and the confidence that they're heading in the right direction. Courage is often portrayed as a lonely act, taking a stand when no one else will, being the first to speak truth to power, being the only one to do what they said couldn't be done. At times on this journey, you will feel incredibly lonely. When you do, don't wear that as a badge of honor. Instead, find the others. They're out there. They're doing powerful and important work. Your first tracks on this journey will likely be the most difficult, as well as the most rewarding. As you find the others, those lonely footprints will begin to form into a well-laid path of courage and hope for others to follow. That's the power of a courageous culture. Courageous Cultures: How to Build Teams of Micro-Innovators, Problem Solvers, and Customer Advocates by Karen Hurt and David Dye. Copyright 2020 by Karen Hurt and David Dye has been summarized by arrangement with HarperCollins Leadership, a division of HarperCollins Focus, LLC.